Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. I am excited to let you know about our guest. I think you're going to learn a lot from her, about her, and then also how to make your life better as well as your family's life better. Our guest today is Dr. Vanessa Pavey. She is a naturopathic doctor. She was trained as a primary care physician, and she's skilled in medical biochemistry, phytonutrients, and nutrition. She is amazing. She earned her Bachelor of Science in Biology from the University of St. Francis, and then she did that before going into the naturopathic area. She's currently with Life Extension, and we're going to learn about her and Life Extension as well. But Vanessa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
You are so welcome. So Vanessa, first of all, you and I were talking prior to the show that, you know, your specialty is, really working in biochemicals and nutrients and how they work in the body. And I can't wait to hear more about that. But before we start, a lot of people have probably heard about Life Extension, but they may not know, you know, what that company is, and that is who you're with. So can you kind of give us a breakdown of who Life Extension is?
Absolutely. So actually, Life Extension started back in the 1980s. So we've actually been in business for 40 years. And a lot of people don't know that Life Extension actually started as a newsletter, trying to get health-related information out to the public. I mean, this was before, you know, a lot of people had internet. So it was just a little newsletter talking about research studies on nutrition to try to get that information out to the public.
Wow.
People were reading these newsletters and then saying, oh, wow, there's a lot of scientific data on these particular nutrients. How do I get them? And that's when Life Extension started to develop a portion of the company that was looking at sourcing material and putting out products. So it actually kind of evolved in that way.
I love it. And as you and I were talking before, it's interesting because I've actually used your products at Life Extension. I have been a customer. What happened with me is that I think it was on inflammation or something. I was curious about it. I took this test and then I called back and I actually got to speak to a real person about my results and what I could take back to my physician and talk to them about. It was the best experience ever. And a lot of people have not experienced that. And so from a customer standpoint, I'm a huge fan of the company as well.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, Life Extension does offer quite a few different services. Our name is not just our name. I mean, it really is our motto. You know, we're trying to help people live longer, healthier lives. And what we decided was, you know, it's important to know the information, you know, like for example, that newsletter has now turned into our Life Extension monthly magazine. And then, of course, making sure that high-quality nutrition is available. But also, how do we monitor whether we're doing well? Because right. People would say, you know, I'm taking your nutrients. How do I know that they're working? So that's when we started developing, you know, why don't we start offering some lab testing so people can monitor their progress? And we have partnered with LabCorp. So we're able to offer a very, very discounted rate to the Life Extension customers who order labs through us. And the service you were talking about was actually a service I initially started out at Life Extension as one of their senior wellness specialists who review lab results. So it's possible we may have talked on that.
Exactly. Exactly. Whether it was you or someone else, the person I spoke with, they were so informative. And if they didn't know, they would take that information and go find someone at the company and get back to me. It was really inspiring. So I would, and they offer supplements as well. I've ordered those. There's different things that you're right. It's an inspiring company all around. And so a lot of people just are not aware of it.
Yeah. And that Life Extension Monthly Magazine, The most important data we've compiled into a textbook as well. It's our disease prevention and treatment textbook. So it's a really amazing resource talking about certain health concerns. And it's not just about nutrition. I mean, the book talks about how it's diagnosed, lab testing to consider, typical pharmaceutical treatments, conventional treatments, and then some innovative approaches as well. It's a great resource.
It's truly amazing. And I actually get your magazine now that I guess I had ordered something in the past. They send it to me and there is an article there on brain health. And we just did a podcast recently with, it's an amazing podcast that was focused on brain health. And so it was interesting to get that. So again, if you're listening to this, I would recommend checking them out. And the website, by the way, it's lifeextension.com. That's correct, right?
Correct.
Vanessa, I want to make sure. Okay, perfect. So, Vanessa, we want to talk to you, first of all, about, you know, your background too, how you got into this field, because a lot of people, especially during this pandemic and this time, a lot of students are in college, they're making their way, they're trying to figure out what they want to do. And this area is an area that a lot of people are just learning about, because as you said, you know, nutrition is so well talked about now where it wasn't 20 years ago. So talk to us about your journey, about how you got to this role in Life Extension and why you do what you do.
Oh, great. Yeah. I mean, medicine has always been a passion of mine. I actually came across naturopathic medicine in Chicago. I went to a conference and heard a naturopath talk about nutrition. So I thought, this is kind of an interesting approach. So I started seeing the physician as a patient, and she helped me clear up multiple health things that I had going on at that time, and I was hooked. I needed to know more about it. So I started going down the naturopathic journey. I think what brought me to going down that path was the philosophy of the medicine. The MD approach that I originally was going down, their approach to medicine is to fight disease. And I thought that was great, but I thought, well, wait, where's health in that arena? If we're fighting disease, how do we achieve that health that we're looking for? Versus the philosophy of the naturopathic medicine is to promote health. Instead of focusing primarily on the disease. So I thought, wow, you know, that really resonated with me. So it's just a matter of, it's the same science. I mean, we're still looking at the same anatomy, physiology, pathology. It's just, how do we use the science? Do we promote health or do we fight disease?
Exactly. And talk to us about, you know, nutrition, because a lot of people talk about it and you know, it's like getting the four food groups as we were raised with, right? But it's gone to a new level now where, you know, you're in your area, you work in the biochemical area. So talk to us a little bit how nutrients do work in the body. And I know that's a very big question. So feel free to break that down into pieces, you know, that our audience might be able to relate to.
Oh, absolutely. Because most of us think of nutrition as the macronutrients, like our fats, our proteins, our carbohydrates. But my interest is in the micronutrients, because oftentimes micronutrients are helpers or building blocks for chemical reactions in our body. Like, for example, one of the reasons why our bodies require like the B vitamins is that they're cofactors for those biochemical reactions, which is hence my interest in biochemistry. The B vitamins, they help catalyze different chemical reactions by supporting the enzyme activity. Like, for example, one of the mechanisms of action that I was investigating not too long ago that I thought was very exciting is I was looking into a nutrient called magnesium L-threonate. Are you familiar with magnesium?
That area is even focused in the brain as well, if I'm correct.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm right.
Yeah. Magnesium is one of those sometimes often overlooked minerals. When we think of minerals, we often think of calcium because, you know, everyone pretty much knows calcium is so important for our bone health. But magnesium is just as important as calcium, because it works in over 300 biochemical reactions in the body. And because our topic is brain health, it does have a very strong impact on our brain. In fact, magnesium is needed for making those synaptic connections between our neurons. That's what facilitates memory and learning. Now, the trick is getting magnesium across the blood-brain barrier. That's the trick. Because we do have this barrier that protects the central nervous system, like our brain and spinal cord, from things that may not be overly pure. So magnesium is actually a little tricky to cross the barrier. Now, what Life Extension was looking at was ways of kind of pushing magnesium more efficiently across that barrier. And what we're finding is that magnesium L-threonate, it's the magnesium attached to the threonate molecule that helps do that. Well, I was getting quite a few questions on, well, how? How does threonate work better than like magnesium attached to like citrate or an oxide or a malate? Well, it's about the structure of the threonate. Threonate is actually a derivative of vitamin C. Now, where we get vitamin C, like for example, humans can't make vitamin C in our body, but other animals can, and they make it from glucose. So vitamin C has a pretty similar structure to glucose. And since vitamin C has a similar structure, so does threonate. And actually, the threonate molecules go through the sugar receptors of the blood-brain barrier and they pull the magnesium with. That's how we can get these higher levels of magnesium into the brain with this particular form. So that's where my interest lies in how these things work in the body.
Wow. So I have a question. So can a person get too much? For instance, you know, they go to, you know, the convenience store or they order it from your company or other supplement companies. And that's what I always worry about with other individuals. Are they getting too much or are they getting not enough? And I think that the average individual is searching to figure out what they need. So how does one go about figuring that out? I mean, I know you have your test, but how, you know, on a daily basis, how they go, because I want to break this down with individuals and then also children, but just in adults today, how would they know if they're getting enough of one thing or another?
Oh, yeah. And that's exactly where lab testing comes into play. To really know what your status is, it would be helpful to maybe run like either a serum magnesium or a red blood cell magnesium to know exactly if, you know, how you're doing, if you have too much or too little. Since I did work in the arena of doing lab testing and reviewing them, I don't think I've ever seen anyone that had too much magnesium. I've never actually seen that. Most of what I'm seeing is not enough. And the typical dosing of magnesium, I mean, really what we want is anywhere between, for most adults, like 500 to 1,500. It's milligrams per day. It's in terms of toxicity, it's really difficult to reach a toxic threshold through taking supplement, magnesium by mouth, because it does have to move from the digestive tract into the body, and that can be a fairly slow process. Where toxicity can come into play is if you're doing IV or injections of magnesium where it's bypassing the digestive tract. That's a little bit, that needs to be monitored by a doctor. But in terms of supplementation, it's not common. Usually the most concerning symptom of overdoing magnesium is diarrhea, because instead of the magnesium moving into the body, it's going right through the digestive tract.
Got it. So let's, because I've got so many questions for you, but let's take brain health just in that. So if someone, the lab testing, and I will just, as an advocate and a customer for Life Extension, what it is, it's so simple. Literally, they send you, either you can do a kit at home or you go to LabCorp and you sign in, they send you the results. It's that easy. It might be, you know, whether it's a cheek swab or it's, you know, a blood test, whatever it might might be. It's so easy to do. You just have to figure out, you know, what to do. And that's why your team is so great at what they do. However, you know, let's say that someone, you know, wants to go down this path. On a day, if they feel like, you know, if let's say that they're not doing the test, let's say they haven't got to that point yet, but they're having issues with memory and things like that. You know, magnesium is important. What other things that should they, would a supplement be good for someone like that if they had those concerns?
Mm-hmm. Well, because brain health is just so incredibly complex. Would it be more like I need support for like kind of calming and focusing?
Yes.
In terms of memory?
Yeah, or recalling, like short-term memory. And the reason I say that, it's so funny because our company that is the parent company of this podcast is Refocus the Creative Office. And there's a story behind it. If anyone wants to read it, it's time and the number 2, refocus.com. But at age 45, I thought I was getting early onset dementia because I would literally forget my passwords. I'd turn around, I'd get home, I'd forget them again. And it was funny because my son looked at me and he said, you know, he's a co-founder. He said, we should create a password book for your clients. And I have 3 businesses. And so that was 2 or 3 years ago. And now we have 31 products with 9 different versions of password books on our website and other places. However, they tested me. He was diagnosed with ADHD in the 5th grade. I was diagnosed at ADHD at age 45. And so I think there's a lot of those areas. But what it made is I ran into this great interest of research and really looking at, you know, omega-3 and magnesium and things that I could do myself before I got tested. And I was so fascinated. So whether it's, you know, short-term memory or focus, I think all of us, especially during this pandemic and having children at home, have difficulty kind of blocking everything out. So what, just to the average person that really is having a hard time kind of just focusing, what would you suggest in someone like that?
I would say magnesium is probably a very important piece of the puzzle for supporting, especially like short-term memory. Mm-hmm. But with a lot of what's going on and a lot of people feeling stress, mm-hmm. that can certainly impact our ability to focus and can impact our memory. Mm-hmm. The 2 very important neurotransmitters that I like to talk about are the 2 major ones of the central nervous system, like glutamate and GABA. So okay. Glutamate is our major excitatory neurotransmitter, and GABA is our major calming neurotransmitter. Oftentimes, if we get overstimulated with stress, we tend to have a lot more glutamate activity than GABA, because we do actually need a nice balance between the 2 to really be able to focus. We don't want glutamate too low because we need that glutamate stimulation for learning. But if the glutamate's too high and the GABA's too low, that can really affect our ability to focus on what we're doing. So
right.
One of my absolute favorite nutrients to support GABA is theanine. Mm-hmm. Theanine is an amino acid that is found in green tea. And what it does is it actually has a very similar chemical structure to glutamate. So what it does is when theanine crosses the blood-brain barrier, it's one of those nutrients that very easily does so it doesn't need extra help. Like, for example, magnesium needs the extra help. But right. When theanine gets into the brain, what it does is it finds those GABA receptors, the glutamate receptors, because it looks somewhat like glutamate, but it's not. So it doesn't activate the receptors. It almost like gets in the way and blocks it from glutamate activating it. So what we're doing is we're promoting more GABA activity and a little bit less glutamate. So that can really be a powerful way of helping us to kind of calm our bodies down a little bit and to help focus to support that memory and learning.
That's fantastic. And one thing I did want to ask is as I was doing a lot of research myself several, you know, like about a year ago on this, and I've continued, you know, looking because I'm a research hound. When I go, I really want to find out more and more. But one thing that I noticed with that area is when does a person start seeing a difference, because it's not a magic pill, right? You don't take it and you the next day you're focusing, right? When does that, so we all wish it did, but when does a person start to see a change, or you know, just even a slight change?
Oh yeah. Now, when we're talking nutrition and we're talking health, oftentimes we need to give our body a little bit of time to create that homeostasis and balance. So yeah, with nutrition, oftentimes we do need to give it a little bit of time versus like a pharmaceutical route that is actually altering normal physiology to have that almost immediate impact. However, what's really interesting about theanine is that there are studies showing that it rapidly absorbs, rapidly crosses the blood-brain barrier, and can actually initiate that calming effect, that relaxation effect within 30 minutes.
Wow, that's impressive. That's really impressive. Now, talk to us a little bit about children, because again, you know, you have children at home that are trying to study, and I really feel for them, for a lot of parents that are trying to work, and then you've got your child trying to focus on that, you know, video screen or whatever that they may be working with during this time. Is giving children magnesium, is that a good idea? Is that something that is promoted?
Oh, actually, magnesium is such an important mineral. There is a minimum for children as well. So depending on their age, it would be important to talk with their personal pediatrician to find out, you know, how much magnesium they need. If it's just a matter of getting in more magnesium-rich foods, like for example, like nuts and seeds. But unfortunately, our food supply, even our soil, is starting to become depleted of magnesium. So we can almost assume that even if we're eating more magnesium-rich foods, we may not be getting enough. So right. A pediatrician may say, you know, it might be best to supplement. And depending on where their blood levels are or what the pediatrician's advice is, supplementation might be a good idea as well. They may have an opinion on, you know, what form, since there's multiple different forms of magnesium. But in terms of like the theanine can be used in children as well, at doses typically a little bit smaller than adults. The usual typical adult dose is between 100 to 200 milligrams, although it can go up to 400 milligrams a day. But for children, usually it's between 25 and 50 milligrams. That's typically used for theanine, but of course that would be up to their pediatrician.
Right. No. And it's interesting because, my son is in college now. And so, if he's listening to this, I hope he's taking his vitamins, but he's on his own. And so, you know, I always say that when our children get into high school and then they move on to college, they're on their own. They're making their own decisions on what type of supplements they should be taking. And they're probably not talking to their physician as much as we would like them to. But if you had the typical college student out there that, you know, going to college, they're away from their family, what would be good? Would the same type of magnesium, theanine, would that be a good mix for someone like that? Because they're focusing in, you know, making great, good grades and focusing on their career of where they're going to be going.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I might also encourage, you know, maybe college students to consider adding also, like for example, lemon balm, Melissa officinalis, to the mix as well, which is an herb. Now, with all like plant material, you know, there is a potential that there could be an allergic response, because especially if you've never introduced lemon balm into the body. So, you know, to use some caution there, but it does have an excellent safety profile. Lemon balm is very rich in a phytonutrient called rosmarinic acid. Now, rosmarinic acid can play two important roles in the brain. It does also cross the blood-brain barrier, so we don't need any assistance in helping that cross. But what rosmarinic acid does is it slows down the enzyme that breaks apart GABA. So it helps keep our GABA up a little bit, keeping those levels boosted. But also, rosmarinic acid slows down the enzyme that breaks down acetylcholine. Acetylcholine is that neurotransmitter associated with memory. That's what college students need to boost to really help support that memory and focus.
Right. That's fantastic advice, really, because, you know, I think a lot of kids, high school students, college students are facing a lot of pressures that maybe you and I did not face when we were their age. And so that extra boost could really help them. And so I know a lot of them, especially boys, sometimes don't want to do that, but it can help so many different areas. My son's ADHD, apparently, you know, there's so many different nutrients that are so important to help in the ADHD area. I wanted to talk to you also about omega-3. Is that, how does that relate compared to magnesium in today's world? How is, you know, are both equally important? Because we hear a lot about omega-3, right, with brain health. Is that a part of that, or is that not as popular as maybe it used to be?
Oh, no, actually, omega-3s are incredibly important. I would say that they're baseline important for all adults, and making sure, of course, with what the pediatrician, you know, has to say, for children as well. Here's the issue with the omega-3s. Now, the omega-3s can be found in plant material, like, for example, like chia seeds and flax seeds, but it's actually the smaller chain omega-3s, the alpha-linolenic acid. Now, in the body, we can turn that alpha-linolenic acid into the bigger chain ones that are found in fish oil, like EPA and DHA. Mm-hmm. However, humans as a species are very, very poor at that conversion. So even if we're eating a lot of like chia seeds and flax seeds, we may not have the important long chain omega-3s like the EPA and DHA. So supplementing can be incredibly important sometimes, or making sure that we're eating, like, for example, high quality fish that don't have as much of those toxins. That's where the concern with fish comes into play, like the mercury, where if you're getting a very highly refined, high quality fish oil, in a supplemental form, that's a very important piece of the puzzle. That have been tested, of course, for heavy metals and toxins. But why it's the long chain ones that are important is that they work on multiple mechanisms in the body. Like, for example, DHA is actually a structural component of the brain. The brain is actually a very fatty organ, and it does have a lot of DHA. Plus, the EPA and DHA are utilized in the body to make hormone-like molecules called prostaglandins that help to inhibit inflammation. Inflammation can affect not just our cardiovascular system, but our brain as well.
And everything.
Absolutely. So yeah, another baseline, very important nutrient.
Right. So, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, on inflammation, we get so many calls and notes about that. Where, you know, an inflammation, you know, what's the supplement or nutrient that would help people with inflammation? Because a lot of people who might take a lot of NSAIDs will get ulcers, right? Or they will have an issue with taking those where they can't take those, you know, over-the-counter medications because of that for inflammation. So they're stuck with this, what do I do? You know, what do I do for inflammation if I can't take those type of things?
Especially if somebody is on blood-thinning medications. Yeah, that would be a caution. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If, you know, supplementing with, like, for example, like a fish oil. So unfortunately, a lot of the nutrients that do have an impact could possibly, or an impact on inflammation could actually affect the clotting process as well. However, there is one nutrient, Boswellia, that can have a nice powerful way of inhibiting the inflammatory process, but without impacting the clotting process. Boswellia is also known as Indian frankincense. Mm-hmm. And the mechanism of action is that the Boswellia inhibits an enzyme called lipoxygenase. This is an enzyme that creates pro-inflammatory leukotrienes. So Boswellia slowing down this enzyme can help keep those inflammatory leukotrienes in check, which can have a strong impact, especially, like, for example, on the joints and the digestive tract, and it could possibly have an impact on the brain.
Absolutely. You know, we don't think about that, but the things that we do on a daily basis, right, whether it's smoking or eating, you know, a lot of fatty foods or things like that, will impact different organs of our body. And that is your specialty, right? That's what you are known for in terms of understanding, you know, how these supplements and these magnesium and L-theanine, all of these areas can help, you know, keep your body in check, right? Because if you let your body go, talk to us about that. If somebody, let's just say they're, you know, eating fast food, they're not taking supplements, they're really not taking care of themselves, you know, first of all, what are the risks, number one, that could happen to them? And number two, how do they get themselves back on track?
Oh, good discussion. So, oftentimes, if we're not concentrating on our micronutrient intake, like for example, if somebody has been living kind of a lifestyle of eating the high calorie, like high energy, but low nutritional foods like fast food for a long time, it's mm-hmm. very likely their body is deficient in these important foundational nutrients like your B vitamins, the fat soluble vitamins, minerals, just kind of the baseline things that our body needs. If our body doesn't have these important micronutrients, it's actually going to impact our metabolism. Metabolic syndrome is on the rise in the United States, and there have been some studies linking low nutrient, micronutrient intake and high caloric intake, like from fats and proteins and carbohydrates, on, you know, cardiovascular problems, metabolic problems, blood sugar dysregulation, even memory problems.
Wow. You know, like I said, it's amazing to me, your knowledge. I wish I knew all of it. I try very hard to do a lot of research and I think, wow, there's so much more, right? There's so much more to learn. I wanted to ask you too, that let's say someone is just, you know, they're doing pretty good. That, you know, their health is, you know, pretty good. What are the main supplements, vitamins that maybe they need on a daily basis? And personally, I think all of us would love to know, what's something that you take? And the reason I ask that, and you don't have to tell us individually, but my grandmother was 98 years old when she passed away. And I will never forget this. She had a minor surgery done. I think it was when she was in her late 80s, and the physician, the nurse came in and asked me, you know, what medications she was taking. And I looked at my grandmother and I said, you know, what medications? And she said, I take vitamin B, I take CQ10, I take the, I said, no. I said, the pharmaceuticals. And she repeated it. And I thought, this can't be right. So I asked my other family members and they said, she's never taken a pharmaceutical product in her life. She's always taken supplements. And I was like, wow, that is so impressive. So, and so quickly at that point, I took a list of everything she was taking and I changed, and I changed my life. But whether it's you or just anyone, you know, I would recommend that they take some of the tests that you offer, but if they don't have a chance to do that right now, what can someone take on a daily basis to kind of keep their body in check until they can do more testing?
Oh, excellent question. Again, yeah, especially if somebody's been living a lifestyle that isn't conducive to making sure we're getting in a lot of micronutrients. So of course, like the first thing would be moving into more of like a whole foods diet, like for example, the Mediterranean diet, which has a lot of wonderful research showing that it has such amazing health benefits, especially for the brain. Okay. But also in terms of baseline, since a lot of us are probably not getting enough nutrition from our food supply, would be, you know, kind of baseline would be a good multivitamin, providing the different B vitamins, especially the ones in their active forms. Like for example, vitamin B6, very important to get that in the active form called pyridoxal 5-phosphate. Usually supplements will have what's called pyridoxine, but pyridoxal 5-phosphate is the active form and is needed for synthesizing certain neurotransmitters in the brain. So we want to make sure we get the active form of that. Plus, it couldn't hurt to have methylcobalamin, the active form of B12, and methyl tetrahydrofolate, the active form of folate. So I would look for a multivitamin that has those forms of the B vitamins. Plus a nice hefty dose of vitamin D. Vitamin D3 is the one that's created in animals. Like that's the form that's created in human skin. Making sure that you're getting a nice dose. That's, I think, the one I'm the most consistent with, is making sure I'm getting vitamin D on a consistent basis. It's so important for health, not just for bones, but also keeping inflammation under control. I know I talk a lot, so I'll just quickly say.
Also, no, I love it. I'm literally making notes because I know that some of our listeners are going to have questions. And so I definitely, and anyone who's listening to this, please write the show and we'll get those to you as well.
Excellent. And like a good probiotic, I would say, is another baseline one. Not everyone is eating, you know, fermented foods in their diet. One of the things that I make sure I do is get a high quality yogurt in every day. But I also make sure that I'm providing my body with important probiotics. I would say a multivitamin and a probiotic would be probably the two most important baseline things to get. And then if you're not consuming fish regularly, a good high quality fish oil, unless of course you're on anticoagulant or antiplatelet medications.
Mm-hmm. And then magnesium.
Absolutely. Yeah, hopefully your multi will have some, but because so many people are really, really low, just inadequate body levels of magnesium. Yeah, getting in a separate magnesium, you know, getting anywhere between 5,000 to, or excuse me, I'm sorry, 500 to 1,500. Although, yeah, the minimums, if anyone was interested, the bare minimum of magnesium intake for a woman on a daily basis, an adult woman, is 320 milligrams a day. For a man, it's 420 milligrams. If you're getting less than that on a regular basis, you're very likely probably deficient.
Wow. Okay. No, definitely. And we'll put this up too. And then can you talk to us a little bit about sleep? Because I think, I think people forget how important sleep is, to our bodies, because they, you know, we can only push them so far.
Oh, absolutely. Sleep is vital. In fact, that's how we start transferring short-term memory into long-term memory as while we're sleeping. And a lot of immune function happens while we're sleeping as well, and healing. So we do need between 7 and 8 hours of sleep a night. And there's a percentage of the population that on a regular basis just doesn't get that. In terms of one of the things that I'm finding that a lot of people are struggling with is too much of the stress hormone cortisol being secreted at night and interfering with us calming down our bodies to be able to sleep. So really, cortisol is an important piece of the puzzle. We do need this important hormone. It does give us energy and motivation to get our day going. So we actually want cortisol levels highest in the morning. But as the day progresses, the cortisol level is supposed to decline. So it's nice and low in the evening, so we can sleep. But with high stress, like chronic pressures that we're all under, usually the cortisol stays high all day long. So one of my favorite nutrients that can help modulate cortisol is phosphatidylserine, also known as like PS. What it does is it actually communicates with the brain and tells the brain not to secrete so much of the hormone that stimulates cortisol release. The hormone is called ACTH, or adrenocorticotropic hormone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, phosphatidylserine or PS can actually tell the brain, oh, maybe we shouldn't secrete so much ACTH, especially at night.
Right. Definitely. So all of you college students that are listening, you've got to get that sleep. It's just vital. It's vital to everyone, actually. It impacts your day, no matter how old you are. I could talk to you, Vanessa, for hours. I think you are so fascinating. And I'd love to have you back on our show to talk about some other nutrients as well in the future. So hopefully we can have you back. But, this podcast is all about focus and how we refocus. And the way I always say that is, you know, we're all human and we all get frazzled. You know, so first of all, how do you focus? If you are having one of those days where you just, you know, you can't pull it together, what do you do to get back and get game on at that point?
Oh, great question. And actually, my favorite go-to is theanine. I always have it with me. When I run out, I get a little panicked.
Sure.
But when I'm having particularly high pressure day, what I like to do is, because theanine works so quickly, I'm able to take it. I take a 10-minute break and just do a little bit of deep breathing. Oftentimes that's really helpful for me to, kind of regain and be able to focus and get back on task.
Awesome. Wonderful. And then, I always say music is very healing, and it can take you to a new mood. It can bring you down. It can bring you up. It can motivate you, and it can also calm you down. But if you yourself, I always ask everyone this question, if you're getting ready to go to a very important meeting or maybe a presentation that you're doing or something, and you've got to get focused, what is the music or the type of music or song? What is it that you listen to when you get in your car to go to that meeting?
Oh, in my car, I turn on smooth jazz. It just kind of helps me unwind and relax. And I like to have that on in the background as well. Yeah, I think that's probably my favorite genre.
I like all kinds of music, and I'm jealous because you're closer to the ocean than I am. And so that always calms me down too. So
absolutely.
So Vanessa, thank you so much again for joining us today. I know we're going to have a ton of people that are going to be interested in learning more about this, and you take our knowledge to a whole new level and bring awareness that it's something that we all should be looking at and thinking about on a daily basis. So thank you for sharing this information. And again, if anyone's interested in Life Extension or their products, go to lifeextension.com. You can also see Vanessa's profile on there. She has a lovely profile. She's a great person and has a wealth of knowledge. So I would encourage you to do that. But again, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
This podcast is sponsored by A. Stevens & Associates, an executive search firm that places C-suite executives in the pharmaceutical, biotech, consumer, food, and nutrition industries. You can find more at astevensandassociates.com.